In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Happy to have you guys listen. I am your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports on Blackstone and Sierra in between Bullard and Herndon Avenues. Yeah, come on down here, First String Sports. I do the show every week here in the Letterman's Jacket Room where it's kind of fun because, again, I got a table set up and people are coming in and out of the store here at First String Sports and they're trying on the Letterman's jackets right in front of me and they're getting it sized and getting what they want embroidered on it. So it's a really neat deal here at First String Sports. So come on down here. They're open from 10 to 4, First String Sports, Sierra, and Blackstone. So we got a loaded show here. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be high school heavy here, talking about all the high school games from last night up and down the central section. One of the big topics was weather. And I don't have to tell you guys that if you live in the Central Valley. I mean, it's a heat wave of epic proportions. I have my laptop here that I have opened up during the show. And even at the bottom, it says heat advisory. So I don't know if it's talking about the laptop is really, really hot. But outside, I'm sure it's outside. So heat advisory is showing up on my laptop here. But, yeah, the temperatures are reaching crazy, crazy proportions, 108, 109, I think next week maybe 110, 111. So a lot of the games up and down the valley were pushed back. So last night we broadcast on 1430 ESPN with Jose Gonzalez and Fresno State, former Fresno State coach Pat Hill, which was a lot of fun, at Sanger, the Clovis East and Sanger Apache game. And that game didn't kick off until 8:30. The JV game was eight quarters, and I believe the fourth quarter was actually a running clock. Clovis East ended up winning the JV game. But, yeah, up and down the valley, games were pushed back. Some games were, you know, starting at 8 o'clock, but ours was one of the rare ones. It was at 8:30. So, yeah, it was a late night, but we're going to be talking about that game. It was a game that Clovis East beat Sanger, and we were very, very impressed with the Timberwolves. They won 49-7. In Sanger at Tom Flores Stadium. So, yeah, great win for Clovis East. But for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break. Gabe was at a few games last night. We're chatting with him as always. He's does a great job. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabe Camarillo _. You can also follow me on Twitter at Paul Mitters, PaulMeadors, or follow at 1430 ESPN. Also, if you go to the 1430 ESPN website, you can download previous episodes and listen to it because, yeah, we talk to a lot of coaches. We get a lot of fun information. And, one of the great things about working for ESPN is that you can listen to the shows live on an app or live through the website as well. I've heard, well, we broadcasted a few games last year. It's a couple softball games, and I got a message from a grandmother, said, "Thank you very much. I live in Nebraska, and I got to listen to my granddaughter play softball, and you called out her name a few times, and so that was really neat for her." So, yeah, that's one great thing that we do here at 1430 ESPN. Okay, so talking with Gabe Camarillo after the break, at the bottom of hour number one, we'll be chatting with Trevor Horn. Now, Trevor Horn, that name might be familiar with people around the Central Valley. Trevor Horn was a former prep writer at Bakersfield, California. Now he works for Garces High. He is the sports information director. He's an associate athletic director, and it's always great to talk to Trevor. He's going to give us a lowdown on what's going down in the Bakersfield area, in the Kern County area. They got a couple pretty good football teams down there, so we'll get a view of how things are going down there as far as football goes with Trevor Horn. At the top of hour number two, we have our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. We do it every week. We honor a player. And we bring him or her into First String Sports, and we give him a T-shirt, and we make a really big deal about it. So we got a Clovis West player. Marshall Sanders is coming in. I tweeted out that Landon Wright was going to come on, but he actually had another commitment. His recruiting is starting to ramp up, so he went to a college game today, and we don't blame him, man. He's gonna be a D1 guy. But Marshall Sanders is definitely going to be a D1 guy. I think he has 5 Division I offers already, Fresno State. So Marshall Sanders is going to be coming in with Coach Eric Brown. And then at the bottom of hour number two, we're going to keep it Clovis. Clovis head coach Aaron Wilkins will be coming in. His Clovis Cougars are 2-1. They beat Whitney last night 21-3 at home. First-year head coach Aaron Wilkins, he's doing a really good job there. So get to know him a little bit more. Looking forward to that. Oh, I should mention the Clovis West game, right? They played Lemoore down in Lemoore. There's a big deal about that game, right? Lemoore had put up 134 points. Clovis West hadn't allowed a touchdown all season or any points. They outscored opponents 90-0. And Clovis West took care of them, 40-14. So congrats to the Golden Eagles. We're going to be talking with Coach Eric Brown and Marshall Sanders in the next hour. All right, got a few minutes here. I'm going to be doing a lowdown, a tiny bit of a breakdown on some of the games up and down the Central Section. If you go to calpreps.com and click on the California Edition, Central Section, you can see all the scores in one tidy place. So I'm going to go and do a rundown of the scores from last night. All right, Carruthers beat Fireball 43-7. Blue Raiders got it going on there. Centennial of Bakersfield beat Independent 60-14. Centennial is one of those teams that, it could be scary if we're going to face them in the D1 playoffs, which I anticipate they will be playing in. They're a scary team. They put up 60 points against Independent. Central Valley Christian beat Bakersfield Christian 34-14. That's a rematch of last season's Central Section Division III championship game won by Central Valley Christian. And I guess I could announce right now, I think I can get the green light, we are going to be broadcasting Central Valley Christian and Clovis North next Friday at Veterans Memorial Stadium. So how good is Central Valley Christian? They're ranked pretty high. They're a base Division III team, so that means they won't play in Division I. Don't worry about that. But they could go up to Division II, which most likely they will. Cal Preps got them pretty high, a top 10 team, so next week would be a really big test for Central Valley Christian. Clovis East, like we mentioned, we'll be breaking down that game a little bit more with Gabe Camarillo. Took care of Sanger in an impressive fashion. Ty Miller, Harold Duvall, it's a sophomore quarterback, receiver, sophomore class. Those guys were very, very impressive. So, yeah, Clovis East looked really good beating Sanger. Clovis North, we'll be broadcasting their game next week against CVC. Beat LD 48-0. And we mentioned the Clovis West over Lemoore 40-14. Kalinga beat Selma 47-18. And Edison in a running clock beat Hoover 54-0. Oh, Patriots. Oh, God, I got a feel for those guys. Exeter beat Lindsay 39-0. Fowler at home beat Emmanuel 25-7. And Frontier beat Bullard. That was another game that we had our eye on. It down in Bakersfield to beat them 24-20. Bullard had a lead. I believe it was 13-10 at one point. Bullard gave up a long touchdown run, missed a few tackles. Frontier's got a pretty good squad down there, so they beat Bullard by 4. Garza, Yosef Ferris's team, beat Sanger West 53-24, so a lot of points for the Guardians. Golden Valley of Bakersfield beat South 28-14, and Hanford beat Golden West. Oh, those Bull Pups are fun to watch, 58-0. In a running clock in the second half. They had some big games or big numbers from players. Obviously, you're scoring 58 points. You're going to score a lot of touchdowns. So, yeah, let's see here. Cordy Glass, running back, sophomore, had 116 yards and a touchdown. Albert Richardson, another sophomore. A lot of sophomores, man, are really good up and down the valley. 10 carries for 110. Caden Muir threw for 240 in 2 touchdowns in the first half. So, yeah, they definitely got it going on. Kerman beat Madera 21-14. Congrats. Damon Jenkins, 3-0. Good job by him. The Lions. Kingsburg beat Dinuba 21-14. All right, so about that game. Dinuba was up 14-7. Kingsburg came back on a Trace Jackson rushing touchdown. I believe it was 5 yards. And Ethan Winslow threw basically the game-winning touchdown in the fourth quarter. The Vikings had to come back, and Dinuba's not an easy place to play. When those two teams get together, you know it's going to be a tight game. So, yeah, Kingsburg, and they're ranked pretty high, too. They're right there with CVC. CVC's ahead of them by one position. So, I don't know. Kingsburg, it's a tough game. It's a tough game. So Kingsburg's a base Division III, so they'll be playing in Division II most likely for the playoffs. Liberty of Madera beat Dos Palos 28-14. Lompoc beat Cabrillo 62-7. That is a team that we need to keep an eye on. They are 3-0. Their quarterback is playing amazing football. I didn't get the stats from that game, but you probably threw for 5 more touchdowns. So, yeah, Lompoc got a really good team, and they are in our central section for playoffs this year. Mission Prep beat McLean 37-0. Orange Cove beat Parlier 37-0. Let me go down here a little bit. Redwood beat Tulare Union. Rangers, pretty good ball club down there in Visalia, 48-20. And Ridgeview of Bakersfield beat Stockdale 25-15. A couple other games of note. Tulare Western beat Mount Whitney 35-27. And Washington Union beat Torres 35-20. A couple games of note as well. Buchanan, they played an out-of-section team, Foothill, and they beat them 35-21. So the Bears are 3-0. And then Central and Turlock. Oh, I'm a little surprised by this game. Central came out on top. They were down 22-19 at one point up in Turlock. Beat them 54-41. So 95 combined points. That's a lot of points. And just for reference, you know, Central had that loss last week to San Joaquin Memorial. But just for reference, Clovis West beat Turlock 48-0. So, yeah, take that as you will. Clovis beat Whitney, as we mentioned, 21-3. And today, if you're wondering about that San Joaquin Memorial team, they play at 1 o'clock today on Saturday. They're playing Queen Creek at Moore Park. Queen Creek is from Arizona. All right, a little bit of a skeleton breakdown of the games from last night. We're coming up after the break. Be chatting with Gabe Camarillo a little bit more in depth about some of the games that we were able to witness ourselves and some of the information that we got. Coming up after the break, Gabe Camarillo on 1430 ESPN. I wish I found some better sounds. No one's welcome back heard. To the Central Valley Sports Report. This is Paul Metter. Always love it when Gabe puts on 21 Pilots. 21 Pilots is one of my favorite bands of all time. Seen twice in concert. Yeah, fun stuff. Tyler Joseph, lead singer right there. All right, high school football. It was a hot one last night. If you guys went to the game, I don't know. How did you guys survive? We were up in the booth at Sanger, Tom Flores Stadium, and the windows were open. We actually had a little bit of a breeze. It wasn't too bad out there, man. It was we survived. Again, kickoff for our Clovis East and Sanger game last night was at 8:30. So, yeah, try to avoid the heat as much as possible. And I know Gabe Camarillo, he scooted around the Central Valley a little bit, was able to check out a couple games, and he is well ingrained in Central Section sports. It's always fun to talk to Gabe. So Mr. Gabe, how did you do last night? How did you survive the heat? When you got in your car and were traveling around, you cranked up that AC, didn't you?
Yeah, I tweeted it out. I thought, wow, it's really hot right now, but just think how we're going to feel in November when we're freezing our butts off when it's 40 degrees at the Central Section Championship Games. So I think I might have to take some of this heat with me into November.
Yeah, sounds good. So what games were you at last night, and what's some of the cool stuff you saw around the Valley?
So I watched 3 games, technically. I watched 2 in person, and then when I got home, I watched the entire Clovis West Lemoore game. I recorded it on television and watched the whole thing. The Clovis Whitney game, one takeaway I got from that, obviously the score shows it was a defensive masterclass by the Cougars, and you'll talk to Coach Wilkins about that in hour number 2, but Roman Moreno is a great running back for the Clovis Cougars. The Clovis Cougars have a very physical identity. They run the football very well. They're efficient at moving the sticks in third and short situations. And I think as their quarterback, freshman Deegan Rose, gets more and more comfortable with the offense, they'll become a well-balanced attack. They're a team not to take lightly in the track. The second game I went to, Edison versus Hoover, that was a game where Hoover was just overmatched. Edison had athleticism at every single position, running back-wise. They scored 2 touchdowns in the backfield. Yajay Vance had a few touchdowns throwing the football. I wrote it on Twitter, and I really believe it. He is one of the top senior quarterbacks in our section. He deserves to be named with Jaden Mandel, Dayton Tafoya, Caden Muir. He's that special. And he doesn't get talked about a lot, but Yajay Vance at Edison High School definitely deserves recognition. And that Clovis West Lemorgan that I watched on TV, you could just tell, even though I wasn't in person at the game, you could just tell how fast Marshall Sanders is as opposed to everyone else on the field last night. He finished with 7 catches, 238 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. And his touchdowns were also very big plays. The longest one came 71 yards. I have to give a shout out to Marshall Sanders and also Ryan Markarian, the Clovis West starting quarterback. He threw for 361 passing yards and 3 touchdowns, all of them to Sanders.
Well, that was a game that we had a lot of eyes on. Again, you mentioned that it was on Channel 59, broadcast by Ralph Wood and Cam Worrell. And so I got to watch the first quarter, and then, Gabe, I got home. When I got home, I was super, super tired. And we got home around midnight last night after the Sanger game. But, yeah, there is you could tell that Clovis West, it's quite a turnaround. People forget. Now, when I talked to Coach Eric Brown coming up and Marshall Sanders, they went 4-8 last year. You know, their defense gave up a lot of points at the end of the year, thinking about that Clovis game and the Bullard game late in the season. And, you know, Coach Eric Brown is a defensive guy. You know, he's got a lot of college experience. Obviously, his father was coach at Fresno State, Dan Brown's late father. I think Coach Brown really took a personal about defense. And I went to their practice this week, was able to talk to the coaches for a little bit, and he's like, yeah, a lot of people are thinking that game's going to be a shootout. And he goes, they're disrespecting my defense. So he took that personal.
Hey,
and
I will
like
raise
it.
My hand and say I thought it would be a shootout too. I even tweeted it out, and they put it on a poster, Paul. That's literally poster board material I gave them to the defense. So I think I deserve credit for that defensive performance last night because I helped inspire that.
Absolutely. And then I sent you a text as well about my prediction for the game, and I was only 2 points off, so I got to give myself a little credit, right? I thought it was going to be about a 42-14 game, so I ended up 40-14. All right, so the game that we went to, Gabe, I don't know if you're able to listen to while you were driving around.
I did listen. You guys did a great job with Pat Hill as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's always so much fun to talk to Coach Hill, and I just got to say a couple things. Like, he is such – he's a celebrity. So when I walk into the stadium with Coach Hill, everyone's saying hi to him, you know, and he's looking people in the eye and shaking their hands, and he's talking to them a little bit. You know, there was a lady that was, she looked like a team mom. She was carrying a cooler with some waters in it for the JV players, and he's walking alongside her and says, oh, you're the team mom, right? You're supplying those kids with water. And they just had a little conversation. So that's just so neat. But yeah, Coach Hill is amazing and really fun to call a game with. But Clovis East. So we know you still, when you think Clovis East, you think, you know, the double tight offense and, you know, the, you know, wing tee kind of stuff in the past and smash mouth football. But I tell you what, this Timberwolf team does not look like that at all. They're spread offense. Colby Hunter is the new offensive coordinator. Again, Brandon Nagel is the first year head coach, and those guys absolutely got it going on. They've put their players in the right position. This offense is suited perfectly for their personnel right now. Ty Miller, quarterback, he's extremely athletic, very, very impressive. Threw for 3 touchdowns or ran for 1 more. He was in complete control of that offense. And then their number one wide receiver, Harold Duvall, made some incredible plays last night. His routes were perfect. His ability to catch the ball in traffic has some good speed. So, hey, Clovis East beat Sanger 49-14, and it was a dominating performance by the Timberwolves. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, the first thing you hear when you talk about the Clovis East Timberwolves is their non-league schedule challenging them? And I challenge that question by asking them, well, even if they can't control who's on their schedule, look what they're doing to who's on their schedule. They're doing what Central would do, where they're doing what Buchanan would do or Clovis West would do to a schedule like this. They're ravaging teams. 49-7 at Tom Flores Stadium. That's a score neither of us could have predicted because we know Sanger. We know that they get up for big games like this, the battle for the Silver Spear. But they really, I mean, Clovis East really brought it on them with their athleticism, as you said, at the skill spots, not just with, you mentioned Harold Duvall, but Lamaze Travis also had a big game from what I heard. And Ty Miller, man, it's crazy how much one can improve from a freshman to sophomore year. He was already really good as a freshman. Now he's entering the elite status. He's up there with Tanner Wilson and some of the other top sophomore quarterbacks in our section. He's doing that well early in the season. But Harold Duvall, I have to say, Paul, I saw a video on Twitter. He tagged me in it. It was him stopping on a dime.
Yep.
I don't know how he did it, but he stopped on a dime. Switch positions, switch all his momentum to his left, broke not one, not two, not three, but 4 tackles on the way to a first down. And that's not even including his 90-yard touchdown catch, which I heard on the radio. Gonzo got very excited for that one. All you guys got excited for that one. That's just how a good player Harold Duvall is. He gets the excitement out of the crowd and out of the announcers.
Yeah, right. That play was on our side, and I just had a feeling something was going to happen. I'm like, okay, look, you got a one-on-one matchup at the bottom. This is going to be fun. And sure enough, caught the ball, stiff-armed a guy all the way down the sideline for a touchdown. So Clovis East, their final two non-league games before they hit the track are Tulare Union and Kermit, and they're probably going to go 5-0.
They are. No offense to Tulare Union and Kermit, but Clovis East, they're playing some really good football. And the way that they beat in Atwater, Sanger, and Dinuba, it points to them being 5-0 when they face Clovis North at the end of the month.
And then track play for them begins with Clovis North, Clovis West, Central, Clovis, and Buchanan. So, yeah, it's going to be a gauntlet the way the track is. But, yeah, Clovis East and Gabe, I think we're going to have to bump them up in our 1430 ESPN rankings. And yeah, one of the fun things that we're going to start doing now is we have some comparative scores, right? So you think of, you know, the Kingsburg, you know, only beating Dinuba by a touchdown, but CVC blowing out Bakersfield Christian, so to speak. Yeah, so these comparative scores are going to start really taking effect. And, you know, seeing Clovis East, you know, could they beat a Kingsburg? Could they beat a CVC?
Well,
so we'll know more.
Talk about comparative scores.
Well.
So Clovis beat Sanger 14-7.
Yep.
Clovis East beat Sanger 49-7. So who's the better team comparing those two scores? Clovis East, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then another comparative score is Central and Turlock, right? 53-47, something like that. 41, sorry, for Turlock. But then Clovis West shut out Turlock 48-0. So
yeah, so you can look at that two ways. Yeah. Like Central scored more points against Turlock but gave up more points. I don't know. I don't know if – and the thing about comparative scores is Sanger might have been more banged up last night than last week, or Turlock might have been at full strength last week or last night as opposed to last week. So there's some risk running that comparative score type of evaluation when you're comparing two teams. But you're right, Turlock, they put up a lot of points on Central. They didn't do that against Clovis West. That's just how good the Golden Eagles defense is if taken at face value.
Any other scores that pop out to you? We talked about Edison over Hoover. Central Valley Christian, who I'm excited to see next week, over Bakersfield Christian. But Lompoc, man, putting up points,
yeah,
right?
Kevin
Those guys
Ross.
Are scary. Yeah, 62 points. Did you find any information about Buchanan and Foothill? I think Jaden Mandel had a good game in that one.
He really did. Buchanan took care of business. They're without their starting running back right now, so they're kind of running a committee led by Augustus Remlinger, who had a rushing touchdown. But Jaden Mandel played fantastic. I heard a rumor from someone close to the Fresno State football program that Jeff Tepper made an appearance last night. I'm not quite sure how true that is. It would make sense, right? Because that's the future of the position there at Fresno State. He's going to compete for that job this upcoming spring. So, you know, maybe Tepper was there, and if he was there, he had a good day to show up because Mandel had a good day against Foothill. Foothill's the number one team in the Northern Section, so it was a quality opponent that Buchanan faced. And I like how they responded after almost falling to Escalon last week.
Yeah.
They jumped out to a quick start. It got kind of hairy there in the middle of the game with some penalties. But after that, Buchanan pulled away in the second half, and it looked like an easy victory for the Bears. I did want to bring up, though, there was a game I had an eye on in Bakersfield between Frontier and Bullard. I thought this game might determine who goes up in D1 and falls down to D2. It's these types of games because at the end of the season, these are head-to-head tiebreakers that we have between a Frontier and a Bullard. Bullard led 20-10. The final score, though, Frontier 24, Bullard 20. So Frontier scored two late touchdowns to take the lead and win it at home. Tough loss for the Bullard Knights. Let's see how they bounce back against a very good opponent, the Clovis West Golden Eagles, next week.
Oh, that's going to be a fun one as well. And yeah, I know Bullard's got a young squad there. They're starting sophomore quarterback Josh Madrigal, but they got a lot of young guys. But you know, if I know Bullard and Coach Arax are going to get those guys squared away, might not even be this year, it could be next year, because they're going to be returning a lot of players for the next 2 years. All right, really quick, Gabe, and then Buchanan, we talk about the gauntlet of their schedule. So next week they're playing Liberty, Liberty, and then San Joaquin Memorial as well. So yeah, Buchanan's got some really tough games coming up in the next
I'll say
year.
This if they beat both those teams, they're number one in the section.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Yep, 100%, 100%. All right, Gabe, always fun to talk to you. Good job as always. We'll be texting each other throughout the week. And, you enjoy the rest of your Saturday, man. It's a loaded. I'd like maybe sometime today I'll be able to throw in some of the fun college matchups and some of the Central Section players that are playing tonight. But, yeah, have fun the rest of the week, my friend.
I will. I'm going to post a video right now of just my setup. I got college football to my right. I got the radio monitors to my left. And I got the amazing voice of Paul Metters permeating through the control room here at ESPN Studios.
That's right. You're at home base right now. All right, Gabe. Thanks, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
All right, coming up after the break, we'll be talking about some of these Bakersfield schools with Garces Sports Information Director and all-around awesome guy. Love talking to this guy, Trevor Horn, coming up on 1430 ESPN. Good morning. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Sierra and Blackstone, or Bullard and Herndon, whichever you prefer. But on Blackstone Avenue, on the east side, come on down here to First String Sports. We talk about the Letterman's Jacket Room. So I'm looking at Letterman's jackets from Buchanan, Bullard, Fresno Christian, Liberty. This is one of their big sellers here. So come on down if you don't have your Letterman's jacket yet. Come on down to First Street Sports and check it out. All right, I look forward to this every year. So last year was the first year that I had my own radio show, and one of the guys I had to get, who I absolutely love, his name is Trevor Horn, former prep writer for the Bakersfield, California, did an incredible job. That's how I got to know him, see each other on the sidelines, and, you know, I had a few meals together before big games, and my man Trev now is the SID at Garces, an associate athletic director, I believe, as well. So he's the main man. He's the main point man at Garces down in Bakersfield. So, Trev, how you doing tonight? I know you had a late night last night coming down from Santa Barbara. So how you doing?
Hey, not bad. Sorry, I was talking to Gabe afterwards. There's nothing like getting back into town after 2 a.m. Normally that drive to Santa Barbara is about 2.5 hours. But they had the northbound lanes on the 5 between Castaic and the start of the Grapevine down to 2 lanes. So it took probably an hour and a half to go 8 miles last night. It was so much fun.
So much fun, sarcastically, because it would have been a lot more fun if you guys would have won, right? But you came out on the wrong end, and that was a good team down there, wasn't there?
That's a very, very physical football team. Central will get a good taste of it next week. I think that's going to be a really good matchup for the Grizzlies against Bishop Diego. Last night, Garces obviously couldn't just so susceptible to the long plays. I mean, all 5 of Bishop Diego's rushing touchdowns last night were for at least 24 yards or more. And so they would break through the, you know, first layer of the defense and then just go. I mean, they got 2 incredible running backs, very athletic quarterback, can throw the ball, he can run the ball. Very good team. Does that take the sting away? Yeah. But is it fun to be able to play in Santa Barbara at what I consider the most picturesque view of high school, junior college, major college football anywhere, as La Playa Stadiums? I don't know if any of your listeners have never been there. La Playa is a one-side stadium seating, and then it basically rolls into the ocean. It's basically seating, stadium, the road, and then the harbor and the water. It's that close. I mean, you're literally 300 yards from the water when you're playing football there. It's beautiful.
That's amazing. Yeah, Santa Barbara never disappoints. Yeah, I love going there. Were you able to go to any restaurants or hang out, or is it just all business there?
The pier parking was absolutely ridiculous because there was 2 different weddings going on. So luckily, we parked in the stadium. And there's a really cool little spot, Shoreline, which is right across the street from La Playa Stadium. Me and the athletic trainers were able to get up there a couple hours before kickoff. We walked across the street, had some fish tacos, enjoyed the view, and went back to work.
There you go. Okay, talking with Trevor Horn, part of Garces Memorial. All right, so, you know, you guys started off the season playing against Los Alamitos, one of the top teams in the state. They got a stud quarterback, headed to USC. Yep. Then you played Paraclete, where you beat them 41-7. You know, what does Garces need to do? You guys still are, you know, in the top 10, top 15 teams in the Central Section, but, you know, what does Garces need to do to separate themselves?
Stay healthy. I mean, that's it. We have a roster of 30 players right now. We're a very good football team, and we're playing the toughest non-league schedule in the Central Section. So for the first 6 weeks, and you might even say 7 weeks, 8 weeks, with Liberty, Frontier, Centennial in the first 3 weeks of the league season, I mean, we really do have to stay healthy, because you look at Los Alamitos, top 50 in the nation right now, top 10 in the state. Paraclete on a downward spiral. They're 0-3 right now, but that's still a very good physical football team. Fish Diego, top 50 in the state. Next week we play Memorial, and we know how good Memorial is. Are they better than Liberty? We don't know yet, but I mean, we're talking about probably a 2-3 team battle for best team in the central section this year between Liberty, Memorial, and Buchanan. And then we'll take a bye, and then last non-league game will be against Lincoln out of San Diego, which has one of the best running backs in the United States. He's committed to UCLA. And then we start league play with Liberty. It doesn't get any easier. Small roster, good players. I mean, last night, Bishop Diego was physical against us. We were physical offensively just as well. Ran the ball 47 times for 290 yards. And had a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown, Jordan Gallegos to Cage Williams. So it's one of those things is how it's not how you start. It's going to be how you finish with this team right now. Are we going to be 5-5 going to playoffs? Are we going to be 6-3? Are we going to be 4-6? It all depends on how they stay as a cohesive group, how they battle through these tough games in the early part of the season, and how they respond in October heading in, God willing, into December.
Yeah, you mentioned the San Joaquin Memorial game. We're going to be getting into that a little bit. But, yeah, the Lincoln game, and then there's Liberty to start that on, looks like, September 29th. And then Frontier, who just beat Bullard. Bakersfield Christian is always tough. And then Centennial, right, those guys put up 60 points yesterday. Can you give us an overview of – obviously, we've talked a good amount about Liberty. We know that they're defending champs and – you know, there's no question that they're the number one team right now. And then Frontier's got a good team. But can you give us just a quick overview of some of those schools down in Bakersfield?
You know, both of those teams, Frontier and Centennial, throw the ball really well. They're doing a great job with that. I was looking at it this morning, and it's one of those things where how do you really gauge how a team is in non-league schedule when you look at, you know, Liberty, which has played a couple teams that they've really been they've really overmatched their opponents in the first 2 weeks of the season with Spanish Springs and Ridgeview. And then we're going to see a really tough Liberty schedule to finish out non-league. And then coming in our game with Buchanan Central and Carlsbad, all, if you look at CalPRM's rankings, which Central Section does for playoff seeders, they've all got a rating of 30 or higher, which means all three of those teams are top 40 in the state, if not top 30 in the state right now, right? So, and then you look at our schedule, where are we going to be at Garza? So we're going to be 1-5, who knows? 1-4, who knows? We're going to be 2-3. We got to figure out the next 2 weeks. Frontier, again, you know, they played a North team that's a little down. BHS, they got them, you know, the first week that they were fully healthy. Tight game last week, and then that's a great win against Bullard. I think what we're going to see out of Frontier next week is how do they respond when they play a team like Hanford that's playing so well right now.
Yeah.
That's going to be probably the biggest game of the week when you look at seedings, is that Hanford-Frontier game. I'm really interested to see how that goes. And then they finish up their non-league with Independence, which is the team that Centennial put 60 on last night. And then Centennial, there's another team too. They're likely going to be 5-0 going into league play.
Yeah,
they beat Ridgeview. They beat Redwood. They beat Arroyo Grande. They beat Independence last night. Jackson Santiago. If you guys don't know, remember his father played at Arvin, played in the Pac-12 at UW. He was a boys basketball coach in the mid-2010s when Centennial had a really good boys basketball team. I think, Paul, you were at that game when they lost to Clovis North in the D1 semifinals. Yeah, so that's his father was the coach there. So, you know, Jackson's got a pedigree. Had 4 touchdown catches for Centennial last night. But you look at that team, I mean, none of those teams that they play in the first 5 weeks for Centennial have a rating above negative 5.2. I'm not knocking a team. I'm not saying one way is better than the other, but do you play to get better? Do you play competition that pushes you week in and week out? Or do you play games to win football games?
Well, go ahead, Trev.
I was just going to say it's all up to your own kind of persona, how you want to build your program, what you want your program to succeed in. Is it winning football games? Is it getting better day in and day out and seeing the best competition and see where you stack up in non-league? It's up to each individual coach. It's up to each individual program what they want to do. But as of right now, it's very interesting when you see the strength of schedule that Liberty will eventually have when non-league's over, what Garces has already seen, and then the difference between Frontier and next week's game against Hanford, and then Centennial, they'll be 5-0 most likely. but have they really seen competition that, that pushes them to their best ability yet? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out. You know, in the next few weeks. Well, next up until the playoffs. Talking with Trevor Horn Garces. Yeah, talk about your league, right? The league realignments. You know, everything is you know, something Yosemite, right? And you know, yeah. Are you guys happy with the league realignments down there? What's that look like?
Well, it was a necessity because they added in the new high school, Del Oro, down in the southeast part of town. So they had to realign because it was an odd number. So we went from 16-team leagues to 5-team leagues. So yeah. There's instead of 3 Yosemite leagues, there's now 4 Yosemite leagues. And then there's also the county league, which is the South Sequoia League, which is a small school county league. So they added in another league. So it's River, if you would, it's considered the power league that Garces, Centennial, Liberty, Stockdale, and Frontier in. And then there's the Valley, which is Bakersfield High, Bakersfield Christian, Independence Highland. And then you have the Mountain and then the Horizon League. So when you look at it, the River is still the toughest league in town. I was looking at it right now. Out of the top 35 teams out of Kern County on CalPrep's rankings, Liberty's number 1, Garces number 8, Frontier's number 13. Those were all out of the River League. And then Bakersfield High is still there at 15. They're the top team in that Valley League. And then Centennial is at 18. So 4 of the top 18 teams in the Central section right now are out of the River League, and that's 4 of the 5. Stockdale obviously having a down year. They haven't been able to secure a win in almost a calendar year. Been some tough running for the Mustangs of late, but it'll be really interesting. It'll be really interesting to see how Bakersfield Christian responds after a pretty tough non-league schedule, especially with that loss last night. Central Valley Christian, that's a very good, very, very good Central Valley Christian. But then we also have to look in. You've got 3 teams in the top 12 right now in the CalPrep's rankings that are Division III based teams.
So
those three teams cannot, unless they say, no, we want to go D1, much like Bakersfield Christian boys basketball did last year, they're not going to go any higher than D2. Yep. So it's going to be really interesting to see who those lower rank D1 teams are that drop to D2 and how a Central Valley Christian, a Kingsburg, a Lompoc kind of finish out the season and where they kind of stagger in, especially since we have that 12-team Division I bracket that we're going to have this year instead of 8 teams like we had last year in this new format.
Yeah, that's going to be something we're going to be talking about the rest of the way. And, yeah, I can guarantee you Kingsburg and CVZ are not going to want to go to D1. They want to win those Central Section championships in the division they believe they should be in, right? That's you know, Kingsburg last year with that loss to Bullard in Division II. They were the 4 seed, and Bullard was the 1 seed. And, you know, Kingsburg, you know, they got a really good team again this year. I want to talk about the significance of your game next Saturday against San Joaquin Memorial. It's called the Holy Bowl. I'm not sure. I'm sure you could tell me how many years you guys have been playing each other. But what, I mean, just walk us through the importance of that game and what that game looks like.
You know, what's funny is I'm working on the program right now for next Saturday. It's the 53rd annual Holy Bowl, and that includes our playoff games that we've played against Memorial over the years. There was a little bit of a lull in the 70s and 80s where the two programs just couldn't find a time to schedule games. So that's why Garces is celebrating. We're celebrating our 75th anniversary this year. Really excited about having Memorial at our place. You know, we played at Memorial the last 2 years. COVID kind of killed their 75th anniversary, so they were able to do it the next year. We're excited to be able to celebrate ours next Saturday, a week from today. I'm looking at the program from 2014. It is actually a photo of the original program from 1947.
Oh, nice.
When the two teams played, when Garces was still the Shamrocks back then. And then I'm also looking at the rosters for the Panthers and the Shamrocks. That game, San Joaquin Memorial defeated Garces 18-6 on November 9th, 1947. Memorial holds the all-time record. I think it's 21-50-2 overall. 21-30-2, excuse me. So Memorial's kind of had our hand. Obviously, they've been able to do it last couple of years. I think they're rolling again this year. Ramirez obviously might be the best running back in the Central Section. I'm sure Tybo Rogers will argue that. over at Bakersfield High. But it's a lot of fun. It's fun to be able to have the two high schools in the Fresno Diocese go against each other every year. It's great to have our volleyball teams on campus. We couldn't get water polo kind of going. Girls tennis will play the next week because they're both teams are in the Cal Classic up there in Fresno next weekend. But it's really nice to be able to have both schools come together. We're going to honor our 2012 Central Section Championship football team at halftime Saturday during the Holy Bowl. We hope for it to really be a nice festival. Obviously, we'll have the live stream of it on our Garces Athletics YouTube channel on GMSN, so that'll be a lot of fun. Myself and the legendary John Finucchi will be on the call next Saturday starting at 7:30. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Is Matt Alvarez, who's the kicking coach at Big Soul College, is my color commentator for the other five home games. Coach Finucchi, who still teaches math on campus, Matt couldn't do it because BC plays next weekend. And so I said, Coach, you want to do it? You want to come on to the game and do color commentating with me for the Holy Bowl? He goes, Trev, you got it. And how do you not have a guy like Alex Finucchi there for the 75th anniversary of the school? Between him and his brother Vince, they've got almost 100 years on campus at Garces. So why not bring in the guy that has the most institutional knowledge to talk about the Holy Bowl? It's such a great environment. I think it's a great game. And it's going to be tough, man. The Panthers are good this year.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough run for our boys. Luckily, we've staved off any major in-game injuries this year. Obviously, we lost one of our starting offensive linemen, had a full knee replacement this week, actually. Gino Lefever, who started all of our games last year as a freshman. So he'll be back next year as a junior. But, you know, knock on wood, we've been able to stay relatively healthy through the first 3 weeks, and hopefully we can keep that going and, you know, we could play some good football Saturday at Sam Dwyer's Field.
Talking with Trevor Horn, part of Garces Memorial. Where else are you going to find out a fun fact among fun facts that the Rams used to be called the Shamrocks? Garces used to be called Shamrocks. That is absolutely amazing. I wrote that down because that's definitely a fun fact, Trev. That's awesome.
Well, and the fun thing is that we at that time, too, we were playing at the old Bakersfield Speedway. So we were playing what used to be called the Thunder Bowl Raceway because the school had not yet built a football stadium on campus. So we'd go up into Oildale and play at the raceway in the infield of the racetrack.
Oh, that's awesome. Trev, we only got a couple minutes here. I did want to touch on this a little bit. This is probably – we could probably talk about this for a full segment. But, you know, you think about the power schools up and down California that dominated by the modern days and St. John Bosco. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they have their own league, the Trinity League. And, you know, you think up north with Archbishop Mitty and De La Salle. You know, our Central Valley, we don't have the power, right? You talked about San Joaquin Memorial, who's made some noise in state, got some incredible athletes that come through. Right, so
I have a simple answer to what you're going to ask.
Do you think we know each other well? We know what each other's going to say?
It comes down to population. You look at the Bay Area. I mean, Sarah just beat De La Salle last night. So congratulations to Pat Walsh on a big win over against De La Salle last night. But it comes down to population. The Bay Area, you know, 12, 15 million people that those private schools have at their disposal for, you know, kids wanting to come there. Fresno's got, you know, 2 million, right? You guys got about 2 million people, right, that you can pull from, whether you're going from Visalia to Hanford, up to Madera, whatever it is, Clovis for Memorial. L.A., I mean, just look at it, it's 27 million schools, so you can have a ton. You can have a J-Serb. You can have a Modern Day. You can have a St. John Bosco. You can have a Bishop Lamont. You can have a Bishop Diego. You can have a St. Bonaventure. You can have all those schools be successful because there's so many kids to be able to choose from. Like, those kids can choose so many different schools because there's so many people down there, where Kern County is only 500,000. So when schools from the Central Valley win, it means something to me, even if it's private or public school, because our populations and our schools just aren't the size. You look at, like, I always look back to our boys soccer team at Garces that lost to Santiago at a Corona in the last game before the pandemic hit, and we lost to them in the state finals at home. We're 500 kids, 509 kids right now at Garces, small private school. Santiago out of Corona, 4,900 kids on campus. Sometimes it's hard to compete like that because you're just going to have a bigger pool on those campuses to pull from. So I think that's really what it comes down to, and I think it's really I think any team from the Central Valley that wins big at the state level should be commended, especially in football, because we just don't have the school size, we don't have the population size like they do in Bay Area, even Sacramento, and down in Southern California and San Diego.
Yeah, perfect answer. Yeah, it comes down to population. And, yeah, again, Garces and San Joaquin Memorial, and then you think what Emmanuel's trying to do down in Reedley. They really ramped up their facilities, have some great coaches in place. But, yeah, it's definitely a different animal. Trev, I love talking to you, man. You're a wealth of knowledge. You're a lot of fun. When we get together, we talk about food and football and
you wanna go to Moo
family
Creamery?
And stuff. What's that? Yeah. Next time in down south, I'm going to text you. We're going to meet at Moo Creamery, get ourselves a mac and cheeseburger, a big old milkshake, and, yeah, and we'll talk all that stuff.
You're going to Fair Oaks today, right?
Yes.
Go eat at Sunflower Drive-In and get the vegan nut burger. Just do it. It's in downtown Fair Oaks. Go eat with the chickens. Have a good time. And thank me later.
All right. Yeah, that's actually on our way to my mother-in-law's house right there. We're going to Fair Oaks after the show. But, yeah, we drive through the little park there, and the chickens are walking all through the town and stuff. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Hey, man, that's my hometown. I love it.
I know you're a Fair Oaks guy as well. All right, Trev, love talking to you. Talk to you later, my friend.
Sir. All right. Take care.
All right, coming up after the break, always fun to talk to Trevor Horn. You can follow him, and he does a great job with Garces and keeping everybody informed on what's going on there. So coming up after the break, we'll talk with Clovis West football, Marshall Sanders, Coach Eric Brown. I think they're on their way right now on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no, we don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Just had a really good conversation with Trevor Horn, the SID from Garces. He knows the lay of the land down at Bakersfield. He does a great job of breaking it down. I wish I could have a couple more segments with that guy because he's extremely knowledgeable, has really good opinions, and he knew that answer about, why doesn't the Central Section have a big power like a Modern Day or a, Archbishop Mitty and De La Salle. Well, it's simple. It's population, right? It's we don't have all the different athletes to pull from like up north and down south. So, yeah, Trevor does an amazing job. Again, you can go back and listen to if you missed that segment, go back to 1430 ESPN website and check it out. Just go under podcasts and Central Valley Sports Report, and you can listen. All right. So now we have a couple really, really neat individuals. Coach Eric Brown from Clovis West and Marshall Sanders, one of the star players for the Golden Eagles. They are now 3-0 after last night beating Lemoore down there, 40-14. Marshall had an incredible game last night, 3 touchdowns, around 240 yards receiving. That game was on Channel 59. And I recorded, I only got to watch the first quarter. You guys started off a little sluggish then in that first quarter, but you guys definitely poured it on after that. So I'll definitely go back and watch the rest of that. So first of all, thank you guys for coming in. I know you guys do a lot of stuff on Saturday mornings, man. And so I really appreciate you guys coming in.
We do, but, we're always going to make time for you, Paul. Because you guys do an awesome job of representing high school sports in the Valley. So we're happy to be on with you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. And so let's talk about last night's game. Let's start with you, Coach Brown, and then we'll talk to Marshall about the game. So, yeah, going to Lemoore, I got to talk to you a little bit of practice, and a lot of people were expecting a shootout. And you're like, what about our defense, right? We got some guys that can play some D and fly around a little bit too. So, yeah, again, you start off a little slow. And I think it got within 26-14 at one point, but, Sanders came up with a big play. So, yeah, what was your overall take from that game, and how did you guys play?
Our guys are playing hard. They're playing together. We obviously have the skill guys like Marshall here, Landon Wright, JoJo Piero. Our running back's really good, Aiden Fortenberry. I think the difference this year for our team, and Marshall can attest to this, we're playing tougher. We're playing – with an edge. I think we talk a lot about having a chip on our shoulder, and the guys have bought into that. So I really love this team, and they love each other. They're playing hard for each other.
And Marshall, you're a junior this year, and you got a trio of junior receivers that are out of this world. I think the best trio of receivers in the Central Section, one of the top in the state. I'd like to see a better trio in the state, to be honest, and I'm sure you agree with that, Coach Brown. But yeah, Marshall, so yesterday's game, what was the mentality going into that game? Do you feel like you had a lot to prove, or you're like, hey, we're just going to let the game take care of itself. We do the things that the coaches tell us in practice. We're going to, you know, good results are going to happen.
We just had a game plan going into it. It was like we got to fight through it. Like, they're probably going to do some stuff's going to happen. We were just trying to fight through it. And I didn't feel like I had anything to prove, but I feel like I had to come out there and show the people something for the TV. So I say the same for Landon and JoJo, too.
Yeah, and then it seems like, again, it's three games through, but a different receiver is going to make different plays at any time in the game. You know, you could go for 240 like you did last night, or, you know, JoJo could go for 240, or Landon, you know, like he had last week, three touchdowns, 172 yards. Like, it could be any one of you guys at any moment, and you don't care, do you?
No. I love him.
That's what's awesome about these guys is they block for each other. They're unselfish. They want the ball, obviously, but they know that it's going to get to them. It's going to find them. Landon last night had opportunities for probably three touchdowns. He got mm-hmm. one called back. And he's frustrated in the moment, but he shows up ready to work, and he knows that next week he's going to get his opportunity. And I wouldn't want to play defense against these guys, I'll tell you that much. So,
and Marshall, when one of your teammates scores a touchdown, that is, you know, on the ground or receiving, are you more hyped for them, or are you more hyped when you score? What's it like when some of your dudes score?
I'm actually more hyped when they score because I just feel good for them. I feel very, I don't know how to say it, but I just get some when they score because they're showing people what they can do, and it's not more just focused around me, and it's showing them that our team is just, we can all do everything. Yeah.
Especially when you spring a block, right?
He likes doing that now. You know, we had to talk him into it a little bit early on last year, but all of the receivers, really, they're blocking, they're taking pride in it, they're finishing people, they're excited when they get pancakes like the O-line. Like I said earlier, it's just a mindset of the team of having an edge and, you know, playing with an edge.
And I'm sure when you watch those plays on film where, you know, when your wide receivers is spring to block, you guys are like, yeah, that's it right there, huh? Mm-hmm. What is your favorite type of play? So do you like to run, you know, you like to run just go routes? You like to sit in the zone, or you like to write, you know, like to run posts or anything like that? You have a favorite route you like?
My favorite route is probably because I like the open field, so I'd probably say like a screen or something. Yeah, I like those. Or I like a dig or a out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And then you also play defense.
Yeah.
Did you take any plays off yesterday?
I'm not,
you know what I mean. Not take
game.
Plays
we,
off.
We,
I,
gave
I know
a,
what I mean.
We gave him a breather a
Got
few
a breather.
Times. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then I mean, do you like defense or offense better? Do you prefer either one?
I prefer offense, but then, like, you know, defense is overall, it's more exciting because you're trying to get a stop, and it doesn't matter. Like, a stop is a stop, and the defense brings it to the offense. So I just love it.
Talking with Marshall Sanders, Clovis West, and Coach Eric Brown. And you have some offers, right? You're mm-hmm. a next level guy for sure. Who are some of the schools that have offered you so far?
Fresno State, Cal Berkeley, UMass, and Colorado State.
Okay, so you got four so far. Mm-hmm. Are you picking up these offers? And Coach, you've been around the college game for a long time. You know how this works. But are offers coming in the summer, or they come year round? How does that work?
It's coming in. Well, last year it came in more towards basketball season, because Coach was bringing in coaches. They just coming in to talk to Coach, and Coach is putting in a good word for some of us and giving us a chance. So I would kind of say year-round kind of. We're all getting a chance. So, thankful for Coach.
Yeah.
And it's kind of recruiting seasons for these coaches. So right after season, the fall season, they're able to hit the road. And so we had, you know, hundreds of coaches come mm-hmm. through on the daily, through December and January. And these guys were in basketball season. They're able to see them move around on the basketball court and get a feel for them as a person. And then they hit spring recruiting, and that cycle they're able to evaluate. At Marshall's age, they're not able to talk to him so much, other than on the phone when he calls them. And now that it's past September 1st, they can start having more communication. But it'll ramp up again. You know, guys will get through on their bye weeks and come see us during season. And then, you know, obviously after our season this year and what he's going to do this year, there's going to be more coaches coming through and offering him as well.
And you're confident in that?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. he's a next-level guy. We've got a few guys that are next-level, for sure.
So, Coach, what impresses you about Marshall? You know, like we said off air a little bit, I covered his sisters with Clovis West basketball state championships. And, you know, obviously his two older brothers, one's at San Jose State. And, you know, I've heard about Marshall. Let's just say, you know, word gets around. They say, yeah, that, you know, he's at Kasner. This is going to be a dude right here. But for as a coach, when you have a player on campus like him, what does he bring to your program? And, you know, what type of a person is he?
He's got unbelievable charisma. He carries himself very, very well, very professionally. When he talks to these coaches, he's sharp, and they know that he gets it. He's also got a family that gets it. You know, they're trying to give him every opportunity to get to the next level and to grow. And, you know, they kind of help him with social media and all that stuff, just making sure he's doing the right things, which he's got a great head on his shoulder, so he's going to. And then his talent is his talent. It's obvious. You know, he's one of the hardest guys to tackle in space that I've seen at the high school level. He's got a similar game, I think, to Devontae Adams. You know, he's got enough speed to take the top off, but he's going to make people miss underneath. And, you know, he's going to be a tough tackle for linebackers, for safeties, for all those people. You know, but overall, just he's an unbelievable kid.
Yeah. You know, obviously you've recruited, you've seen lots of kids up and down the state. You compared him to little Devontae Adams in him. You know, what are college coaches – looking for the overall picture when they visit and watch them on film or talk to them in person? What are coaches really, really looking for?
I tell these guys the first thing that they're going to do is grab a transcript.
Yeah.
And they're going to find out if you are able to be eligible, if you're eligible, or if you got a chance to get eligible. And he's great at that. You know, academics, he's in great shape. You've got to have enough core classes to get in, you know, to be eligible at the next level as well. So they're checking on all that stuff first. You know, and then it's evaluating if the film matches what they really are. You know, if somebody looks like they're a big dude on film and they can run, well, you get to see them in person and find out if that's really true. And then, you know, the next thing is their character. You know, are they a good kid? And when I recruited, I used to go in the office. You know, as you check in, I would go in the office and I would talk to the secretary. And I would talk to the principal. I would talk to, as I walked by a janitor, hey, do you know, if I was recruiting Marshall, I'd say, hey, have you heard this Marshall Sanders kid? And if somebody said, that guy's a jerk,
yeah,
I'd be off of him, you know. Most of the time it was, oh, yeah, he's a great kid or he's unbelievable. And with Marshall, everybody on campus would say he's a great kid with great charisma. You know, so you evaluate the football side most of the time in the office with the full staff. When you're going in person, you're going to find out what kind of kid they are, what kind of upbringing they have.
Yeah, that's great information. It's good to know. And, you know, I'm a teacher as well, too. So, you know what, teachers and secretaries and janitors, we all see the kids. We all know them. Hey, did that kid, you know, when nobody's looking, did he help out somebody? Or was he picking up trash? Just little things like that go a long way. Marshall, I know, we talked a little bit about your brothers and your sisters and your family and how they've prepared a way. But how is seeing them and, you know, Brianna went to Arizona State after her great career as a basketball player and, you know, Marcel at San Jose State. But how has that helped you knowing what they've gone through and probably your parents too, that they've gone through? How has that helped you prepare you for the next level?
It's helped me out big because seeing Bree go to Arizona State, it had a big impact. And I was just like watching her play, going to her games, and then seeing my next sister Ari in line. And just seeing it happen and then sell, it's like I'm learning from them and then me and Markel learning from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're just picking up so much stuff and then my parents are adding on to it. And it's giving us a lot of help to make me succeed.
And, you know, Kel's a starting safety for us as a senior that does a really good job, too. So,
I mean,
the family's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know the family well. I've talked to them for the last six, 7 years and see your mama at games. And she's fed me at games, too.
She feeds us, too.
Yeah, that Clovis West basketball tournament.
Yep,
she hooks me up.
She handles the organization of all of our team meals and all of our team snacks. So she's awesome.
What's she going to do when all her baby birds leave the house?
I can find somebody else. I'm going to be in trouble. I'll tell you that much.
All right. I know. And it, obviously I'm doing it right now, and it's easy to look ahead at the future, but you're only a junior. You got, you know, 7 games and more in this season. You got your whole next season. So, Coach, how, you know, you've been around the game, again, a long time, and you've seen kids that are looking forward to the future, right, which is great, right? That's what we want. But, however, don't forget the moment as well. So how are you guys able to, as a coaching staff, you know, just keep them in the moment? Guys, we got a game. You know, high school, you don't go through high school once. High school football is very, very special moment in the development of kids' lives. How are you able to balance all that?
You know, it gets tougher as you have success. Yeah. I think our message this morning was – and you know, as brash as it is, we're talking about, we don't take the cheese, right? So the mouse that's running around, he sees that cheese and he goes and grabs it, and it's a trap, right? So we're not gonna listen to the hype. We're just gonna go 1-0, which is our other mantra kind of this year. We're just gonna go 1-0, you know, and that's our goal this week.
And you know, you guys are having a lot of success so far this year, and then track is coming up, and that's gonna be a different animal as well, but. You know, this is your second year at Clovis West. You're a Clovis West grad, right? And you know the program through and through. And you know, you kind of forget last year you went 4-8, right? And because you're having, did you just take a lot of stuff from that season and try to mold it into this year, or did you flush some stuff last year? Just, you know, there a lot of stuff was thrown your way, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we faced a lot of adversity. I think we grew as a team from it. We also experienced some very fun highs. You know, a huge difference for us right now, and these guys will attest to it, is we had a true off season. You know, last year I got the job end of May and was putting together a staff in June, and we were really every once in a while able to get our game plan installed and really weren't in the weight room very much. I was able to put together an unbelievable staff, so I really appreciate my administration for letting that happen. Guys that are former head coaches that are, you know, like Lewis Franklin, our offense coordinator, former head coach for a long time. Michael Holst, who coaches on both sides, is a former head coach. You know, that I call him the assistant head coach because I'm bouncing ideas off of him all the time. Adam DaCosta left the head coaching job to come be our strength and conditioning coach. And that's where I think the biggest gains have been, just getting these coaches in established for a year. These guys know the system. They know the scheme. Adam was able to work with him all year long in the weight room, and he runs it for all programs, so even when these guys go to basketball, they're still working and getting stronger. So it's just, I think it's, you're seeing the year of work pay off.
Yeah. Has there been a moment this year, or maybe even in the summer, where you're like, okay, we're heading in the right direction? Like, was there something specific that happened? Maybe some kids bought into something? Maybe I don't know. Is there a little moment that you can point to, or not really?
You know, I could feel it. I think going to Tahoe, I could feel it. There was a change in our team. We went and did a team camp at Tahoe. There's no more pads in California for team camps, which I think's a bad deal. So we went to a non-padded camp that our coaches run, actually, and it was really good for our team bonding. Us dominating at that Fresno State 7-on-7, you know, you could start to see, okay, well, we knew we had the skill, okay, but these guys are playing together and they understand and they're competing. But going to Tahoe and seeing our guys in full pads, or not full pads, but in 11-on-11 situations, controlled, but 11-on-11, you could tell that we were different, you know, and then as we approach summer, as we approach our what I call fall camp, because I'm old college guy.
Yeah.
But as we approached our padded sessions in summer at the end, you know, guys were aggressive, guys were tackling, and then we went and scrimmaged up at Edison Stockton. It was like, okay, we got a real chance. We really do, because we had physicality.
Yeah.
You know, against some big teams, some big opponents that, you know, are historically pretty good. So, you know, last night I got home at midnight and my wife was still awake. You know, she wanted to tell me congratulations. Yeah. And she's like, you can smile. Your team looks pretty good. I said, we got to go 1-0 this week. We'll smile later.
She was watching on TV, I'm
sure,
right?
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Yeah, talking with Coach Eric Brown and Marshall Sanders from Clovis West. Al Marshall, I know you're a basketball player as well, and I've enjoyed watching you play. You played as a freshman, dude. So you're going against dudes your whole life. But who's the fastest guy on the team right now? Come on.
I would say myself, but that would be a lie. I'd probably say Landon.
Atlanta's close,
fast. Though.
It's close.
Atlanta, yeah. One step. Yeah, it's close.
You guys run 40s again? How does that work? How do you know?
So we did 40s really January. So he was with basketball when we were doing some of the speed training and, okay. and 40 stuff. And that's, you know, as people come through and they're recruiting Marshall, that's one of the biggest things that I think is a huge sell for him is he's a multi-sport athlete. And he hasn't specialized and just become a football player, which I don't want him to, and I don't think he should. But his potential and his upside, and you see how good he is right now, but his upside is even higher. He's got a very, very high ceiling to when he actually goes a full year in a program at the college level yeah. where he's going to be an unbelievable steal for somebody.
Well, if you can get through Coach Vance Wahlberg's practices, yeah, right, you can
right.
get through a lot of stuff
yeah,
and
no doubt.
Coach Brown's practices as well. All right, so I noticed all these wristbands that you got on your hand. So it's like 1, 2, 3, about seven of them?
Yeah.
Bracelets. So tell me about those. Does that have some significance?
Nah. It's a little style that we have now.
Oh, it's a style? Is that a style, Coach?
The kids are crazy. I mean, they wear shirts now. It's like in style to wear like the old Rock Band shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually like the Rock Bands that are on the shirt. And I'll say, oh, you like AC/DC?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, well, you got it on your shirt, man. You should at least like them.
I know. I see that too. Like Sublime. There's Sublime shirts. You got Sublime? No, I don't know. I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
I just bought the shirt at Target or whatever.
Yeah, like, okay. It's in style.
High school kids, man. You got to love them,
gotta
right?
Got to love them.
All right. So, again, going back to basketball a little bit. So, yeah, Marshall, one of the things that impressed us, again, you played last year as a sophomore. You were in some crazy games that we called on 1430. And, you know, think about the St. Joe's section championship game and triple overtime against Clovis North. But what's impressed me about this guy, too, Coach, is just how calm he is in the moment and the focus. And he is an absolute – for lack of a better word, he's a gamer,
mm-hmm.
right? Nothing phases him. He just goes out there and plays the game, right? And that says a lot about his athletic ability as well. He just plays the game.
Yep. No, he's calm, cool, and collected. And, you know, I think that basketball team, and Coach Wahlberg does an unbelievable job, you know, probably one of the best coaches ever in the state. Not even, you know, he's got to be up there for sure. And I played for him up till my sophomore year, played basketball at Clovis West too. I didn't play varsity like this guy. But I will say I think that you could start to see some of the work we were putting in football, some of the toughness, some of the mental toughness. And he works it too, and I'm not taking any credit, trust me. But a lot of those guys that played basketball were tougher than they were the year before.
Mm.
And there was multiple guys that played both. I don't know if you agree with that, Marshall, but you know, I just think there was a different – toughness to those kids, and it's shown for us now too. And Coach Wahlberg and I, we have a great relationship. We're able to work together. So, you know, and like I said, he does an unbelievable job. So
I 100% agree, and I think it shows on the football field and toughness. I know that was one thing that you were concerned with last year. Like we got to get tougher, especially on defense. And God, our time has flown by. We only got about another minute here, but. Looks like you guys are going to be taking on Bullard, which is always a fun game. Last year you beat them in that Lightning game. That was pretty wild. And then you got Edison and then the gauntlet that is Track, Buchanan, East, North, Central, Clovis. So, again, you talk about going 1-0 each week, and that's definitely the goal for you guys. But, you know, if you could just, you know, have – what can you just say about this team overall and where you guys are at and how you like your chances going the rest of the way?
I wouldn't trade this team for anybody. You know, other schools have 4,000, 5,000 to draw from. I got 2,100, and I'm very happy with the 45 that I got on my team. You know, and I think you see it throughout our systems, even our JVs and our freshmen. There's 113 in our program now. When I got the job, there was probably 35 total. So,
wow.
The kids are coming out. I think they know that we treat them right. And they see guys like him making plays and having fun. So really happy with where we are as I sit here today. But I'm going to go watch film right now,
yeah.
And I'm going to find a bunch of stuff that we can improve on. And this team, the sky's the limit for this team. And we just got to keep showing up to work and going 1-0. Because this is a team playing Bullard this week that got after us in the playoffs and sent us home.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have beat them early in the season, but they sent us home. And I reminded the guys of that this morning. So – I think we'll be highly motivated on Friday night.
I agree. And, yeah, Clovis West football is definitely on the up and up, and I've enjoyed talking to you over the last couple of years. I know last year was a whirlwind year, and we got a couple times to chat, but always love talking with you, and thanks for welcoming me to practice the other day. And I'll be sure to show up. I'll just show up and maybe talk to you guys and maybe sling the ball around a little bit after practice if you guys want. So, again, appreciate you. Marshall Sanders, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Coach Eric Brown, really appreciate you guys coming on.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Paul.
All right, you're welcome. Coming up after the break, we're sticking with Clovis. So we got Clovis coach Aaron Wilkins is going to be on the phone. They had a big win yesterday, 21-3 over Whitney. Talking with Aaron Wilkins coming up on 1430 ESPN. Found the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. Just had a really good conversation with Clovis West head coach Eric Brown and one of his standouts, Marshall Sanders. And yeah, I'd love to get Coach Brown on again and talk about his journey to Clovis West football. You know, he's an alum of the school, played for Fresno State. His father is the late, great Dan Brown, coach at Fresno State as well. So, yeah, the program is trending up. The trajectory is going up. And we're going to be sticking with the Clovis Unified theme. We have Clovis head coach Aaron Wilkins. Talk about trajectory going up. Coach Wilkins, first of all, thanks for taking the time and talk. I know, Saturdays can be busy breaking down film and talking with your team and maybe doing a little weight training and fleshing. But, yeah, first of all, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So last night you guys took on Whitney. Your defense stood tall again, man, only giving up 3 points. Again, last week you guys beat Sanger 14-7. So did the game plan last night pretty much go as planned? How did the guys step up?
They did a nice job. I think, when we watched the tape this morning, we left a lot out on the field. But I'm just proud of the guys for fighting, and we're getting through it. We're very young. That's not an excuse for us, but in the receiver room and in the quarterback room, they're just getting better every game. And I think as long as we continue just to improve, I think this team is going to be a solid, good football team.
Yeah, and the defense, giving up only three points last night and 7 points to Sanger. How has the defense really stepped up their game? Is it a combination of the putting the kids in the right spot and they're making plays, playing discipline? How have they been able to do that?
Yeah, we have a really, really disciplined scheme, and I think when everybody just does their job, they're starting to realize that the ball's funneled to the right place and the guys in the secondary in the right spots. And, they're just starting to embrace stop playing backyard football where I see ball, get ball, read a key, fit your gap, and the ball will come to you when it's your time to make a play. So it's a very unselfish defense. You can't worry about stats in our defense. But I think now the kids have seen, oh, wow, when we do play team defense, all of a sudden TFLs are everywhere, sacks are everywhere. And, they're playing, we're getting 11 guys in football every play. They're playing with great, great effort. And I just felt like last night, the first play of the game, you just got 11 guys at the ball, and that poor receiver just took 5 shots. And it's like, oh, boy, here we go. We're going to play this kind of defense, And that's just what we're embracing. We're trying to get 11 halves to the ball. We're not in the right spots all the time, but, it's amazing when guys hustle, when you can cover up some bad scheme. And that's just what they're embracing. So I'm proud of our defense. They're doing a heck of a job.
And how did you guys score your 3 touchdowns?
So for the most part, to be honest with you, this was one of those games where we had a really big game plan going in, and we just found a couple plays, and we just kept running them. And most of it was through our ground game. And we had 3 different backs carry the ball, and Tyler Marquez, Noah Luganville, and Roman Moreno. And I just felt like they ran hard, and our O-line, they've been improving every week. And just Coach Plummer, Pat Plummer, I know you guys know who Pat is. He's been working his tail off, and they're just getting better. And we're all of a sudden, we got a body on a body, and, look out. All of a sudden, the ball squirts through, and we just keep chunking. So I felt really good about our run game. Our freshman quarterback did a fantastic job. He had some big-time third-down throws. And we had about 30 seconds on the clock, and I was going to just take a knee. We ran a counter play and gained 20. And it was like, okay, well, then we have a chance to score here. And he threw a 50-yard bomb to Dom DeCanio down at the one-yard line and called a timeout with about 7 seconds left. We ended up running a little toss game on the two-yard line. We scored with five to go, and that just changed the momentum of the game for us. So he made a big-time throw in a critical moment. And then after that, I just felt like we, you know, our big theme is the fourth quarter rolls around. We're just in better shape and we're more physical, and that's just kind of what happened. It's a softening process, and we just warmed down. We're able to score late and put the game away.
I definitely want to talk about some of your players in a few minutes, but I want to go back a little bit to the Long Beach Poly game. And, you know, I hate to bring that up, so to speak, because, you know, it was a tough one, and those guys had athletes all over the field. It was a game that we were able to broadcast, and, you know, it's your first game as the head coach. So there are just a lot of things, you know, thrown at you in that game. Is that game flushed from your memory already? I mean, what were you able to take away from that game, and what did you tell your team?
Yeah, I think what we did is we watched the film, and I told the kids, you know, the reality is that in that game we were so overmatched that we probably, you know, if we executed, we probably wouldn't have beaten that team, but it would not have been that bad, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just showed them all the clips, and I didn't try to hammer them too hard. I just said, hey, look, if you do your job here, you make this play, X, Y, and Z, and all of a sudden, maybe, just maybe, this is a different ball game, or it's closer, right? And so our message going into the Sanger week is we were not going to dwell on this. We're just going to – I grabbed a tennis ball, and I said, what is a tennis ball when you have it? What happens to a tennis ball when you throw it on the ground? It bounces back, right? And so you have to have that ability to bounce back. And the harder you hit a tennis ball, the faster it bounces back. And I think our kids responded, and they didn't give up. They didn't quit. I mean, it's tough after a game like that, you know, especially for me. I told myself, my goodness, are all the teams going to look like this around here? And luckily for us, I think we're now on a schedule where I feel like we can match up very well with teams. So, you know, tough loss, but I think we wiped that steer and clear, and we're moving on to Salinas even today. So we try to take it one game at a time and just narrow our focus and have tunnel vision on the next opponent.
Talking with Aaron Wilkins, the head coach at Clovis High. You mentioned your freshman quarterback, Deegan Rose, and Looking Bill. Looks like he's starting to get some more carries. I know he's a standout linebacker on defense for you guys. But who are some of the other players on your team that you want to mention that are standing out to you and your staff?
Yeah. Well, Toby Martin last night had 9 tackles. He had 3 batted balls, TFL, and sack. Jalon Jimenez is playing both ways for us. He's about 6'6", 250. He only played O-line before I got here, and I kind of told him, if you want any chance to move to the next level, like, you better play defense because it's going to tough you up. And he has been an absolute beast for us. He played very well against Sanger. He played very well last night. So super proud of him. You know, we're very young in the secondary, but we do have an older senior corner, Jaden Carrillo. He was down with an ankle injury. Basically, you know, the majority of camp, he's finally starting to get going, and he's making some big plays for us. And, you know, you mentioned Noah, and I got to give a shout out to that kid. I mean, he played, I mean, 13 tackles and interceptions, TFL last night, and it was just like, I mean, that kid just has a motor that will not stop. And, you know, you can be a good defense player in high school if you just have motor and play with great effort. And then our offensive line, I got to give credit to them. You know, when you can't run the ball against Long Beach Poly, to come recover and put up some numbers in the next two games. And, you know, like I said, Coach Plummer's done a great job. I got to tip my cap to him. It's just the improvements they made week after week, and you can see the hard work is paying off. So that whole O-line, and then, you know, Deegan Rose, for what he went through in Long Beach Poly, running for his life and taking some shots, and to be able to kind of stand in there at Sanger. He basically was our entire offense against Sanger, just throwing the ball, and he made some great throws. And then last night, he just made some critical throws in critical situations. He's starting to stand tall in the pocket. I mean, he's 6'3", so he can see the whole field, right? And he's got that vision. He's starting to get comfortable and get some confidence. So he made some great throws last night.
And when I visited your practice before the Long Beach Poly game, and I was just super impressed, Coach, with the structure that you had, the attentiveness from your players, how they you know, looked you in the eye, how they responded to you, and the way they lined up, and you know, your relationship with them already shows. So if somebody were to attend one of your practices? I don't know, your practices are 2-3 hours long. What would you hope that they would see?
Tough, rough, physical, crazy. You know, kids that just fly around, and you know, we try to preach that as much as possible. You know, you get one live day in practice, and I think it's about a 40-minute total period or 15. We only go one live period of 15 minutes, but it is smash mouth, and the kids love it. You know, and I think they're starting to respond to that. You know, and some people call you crazy for going live tackling, but the only way to tackle well is to practice it, right? And I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in physical practices, and yeah.
I think we might have lost Coach Wilkins there. So, Gabe, maybe we can try and call him back. But, yeah, just going back to that and the practice that I did get to see for Clovis High is, yeah, they get after it. And it was competitive. And they weren't hitting each other, but you could see that they didn't back down. And there was some competitiveness between the DBs and a wide receiver. And, yeah, it's – you know, that there's a lot of talk about that, and you know, especially at the college level, you're hearing that more and more, where there is not a lot of contact in college football. Actually, talking with Coach Pat Hill last night, while we called the Clovis East and Sanger game, is, you know, I'm sure Coach Hill's practices were insane as well. But yeah, just being able to hit each other in practice, I think that needs to come back again. Where a lot of teams are getting away from that, especially at the college level. Well, you know, injuries are a big thing, and, you know, you never want to see a kid go down at practice. But, yeah, it's good to hear that Coach Wilkins is getting at that and, you know, being aggressive in practice time. And, you know, hopefully we could get Coach Wilkins back on. But his journey to become the head coach at Clovis High has been an interesting one. He's, you know, I'm excited to see what he has, you know, as far as his – if he expected to be the head coach at Clovis High at this time of his life. But he's coached at the college ranks. He was a recruiter, coached at Liberty College. You know, Liberty really came on, you know, strong this last couple years in the face of Division I football. So, yeah, he's been around. And you know, like Coach Eric Brown, who's been around the college game for the last 10 years too, returning to high school football, you know, finding that balance as well between high school kids and college kids, and you know, knowing how far to push each other, you know, push the student athletes. You know, high school's a different animal. So, anyway, looks like we might be trying to get Coach. We got you back on the line.
You guys can hear me?
I got you. We got you. So, I was talking about off the air when we lost you for a second. You know, just your experience in college and finding a balance between, you know, coaching a college player and coaching a high school player. But you know, 5 years ago, if I told you that you were going to be the head coach at Clovis High, you know, was that even on your radar? What would you have said back then?
Yeah, probably not. Honestly, you know, I think everything changes when you have a kid. I think y'all understand that. Gabe will when he has one. Obviously, that's down the line for Gabe. But I think, you know, I have my daughter, and when in college, it's such a you're basically gone from your family all the time. And when you're not coaching, you're out on the road recruiting for 3 to 4 months out of the year, and I just want a balance in my life. You mentioned balance, and I think I want a balance in my life, being a dad and being a husband.
Yeah,
just being able to coach, which is what I love to do, and I think I was able to find that, you know, just here at Clovis High. They just allow me to you know, my daughter's on the field all the time. She's got a little cheerleading outfit. It's just awesome, you know, having your kid around and being able to have her at practice and just show the boys what it looks like to be a dad as well. You know, we live in a generation that don't necessarily have fathers at home or don't know what that's like, and just to be able to display that for them, I think, is 90% of my job and what's the most important part about my job.
And I can tell you this, having three daughters myself, one just left last week for sophomore year at Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, and just relationship between a father and daughter is certainly special. And yeah, those are times that you definitely want to take advantage of, and those are precious moments, those early years with the daughter. Is something that you'll never forget. So I'm super happy that you're able to connect that way. That's a special moment between you and your daughter for sure, and your whole family. Yeah. Oh, you got me a little emotional there, Coach. Come on, let's go. All right. So, do you getting back to your team a little bit? Do you have a timeline? You know, there's a lot of talk about Buchanan and Central, and now Clovis West, right? I mean, deservedly so. Those are some really strong programs. But is there a timeline that you have in your mind to get Clovis to a certain level to where, man, you know, year in and year out, you guys are competing for that top prize, a section title or a track title?
Yeah, sure. You know, the number one thing, I got to make this team believe here that they can win every game that's on our schedule. We're going to have to play great football every week. I mean, you can tell the track is loaded this year, and it's a very balanced track here where everybody seems like it's a toss-up, right? And, you know, I think that the reality is I was just at our game at Clark this morning. I woke up, and I just want to go support those programs. We have so much talent in this system at Clovis, and I think the main thing is keep them here, right? I think we're in a generation where it's just next best thing, next best place. And that's just not conducive to building a winning program, especially in Clovis Unified, where, you know, I'm attached to seven different feeder schools. And, you know, we had our elementary night last night, and we had every single kid that plays football in this entire system was on the field with us, ran through the tunnel with us, got to watch us in pregame warm-up. We had the players give them high fives, and we're just trying to create that culture of just like it used to be. You know, like, hey, you're in Clovis, you stay in Clovis, and this is the place that you're going to be and go. It's where you're going to get loved and pushed the hardest. And if we keep you here, yeah, I truly do believe we can get this program to one of the elite of the elite here in the Central Valley. And hopefully, you know, like I said, next time we play at Long Beach with those guys through the system, it's a different story. Because, you know, y'all remember the Clovis East days when they played Long Beach. You know, those guys, I mean, shoot, they look out. You better not schedule them. You think it's a cakewalk, and then they beat you because they're just more physical. They got enough talent, and they're well coached.
Yeah, Clovis strong, right? So we're talking with head Clovis coach Aaron Wilkins. We only got a couple minutes, but I know you have a relationship with Josh Allen. Coached him at Fireball, coached him at Reedley College. You got a Josh Allen story that you can share with us?
Yeah, well, this one's a fun one. So my first year coaching Josh, I was the OC, and you know, we go down and someone dropped from our schedule, and so we're trying to pick somebody up. And you know, Chowchilla back in those days was like one of the premier small town football programs in the Valley, if y'all remember. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, not them, you know. And then Josh just like, I mean, he threw for 400 yards in the half. And he just like had this ability to understand defense like I've never seen. And he's such a great processor of information, and he's such a great athlete because all he did when he was young was play every sport, basketball, baseball, football. He was just constantly
playing.
We lost
coach again. So, he's talking about Josh Allen. He's at the apex of the story there, talking about how incredible Josh is at processing information. Oh, shoot. All right. Well, we'll have to get Coach Wilkins on again. Maybe we got a couple minutes before break. But, yeah, Josh, obviously, he's – one of our Central Section's favorite sons, and we watched him.
Paul, you got me? You still,
I got you.
Still got me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you. All for right. Your Josh Allen story.
Did I cut out?
You cut out a little bit. You were at the point where he threw for 400 yards and a half.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Josh threw for 400 yards and a half, and I've never seen a kid just be able to, in a game, process information so fast. And I just remember thinking to myself, oh, goodness, we're going to be just fine as long as we have this kid. And he broke his collarbone that game, believe it or not. But Josh is such a competitor. He was back in 4 weeks. he's just wired different, man. He hates to sit around, and that was a memorable experience for me. And then obviously being able to recruit him after that, because I had that previous relationship with him to Reedley. And you know, this is a funny story. Ernie Rodriguez, one of my best friends, he was the OC at Reedley College, and he told Josh he did not start Josh, right?
Yeah,
and he ended up starting Josh one game, and he, it was the Merced game, and he threw for 400 yards and rushed for 200, and the whole entire staff was like, what are you thinking? What are you doing benching this guy? And, you know, obviously that's just – I think that's why Josh is the way he is, because nothing was ever handed to him, right? He always had to earn it, and he still has that chip on his shoulder. He still feels like he's an underdog, and he still plays like nobody believes in him. And I just think that all those experiences and seeing him develop have been able to turn him into the person and quarterback that he is.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's, you know, considered one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, if not number one overall, ahead of guys like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And I'm sure you could share a lot of Josh Allen stories. But Coach, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate you. And yeah, your program is on the up and up, and we're going to be doing a couple more of your games here on 1430 ESPN. I know you got Salinas and Bullard before you head into the track, but really appreciate you. You've done a fantastic job so far, and look forward to talking to you more as the season goes along.
Hey, I appreciate y'all, and come support if you can. We'll be playing here in La Monica, and it just shout out to Daryl La Monica and that whole family, and we're just trying to represent him the best we can this season in remembrance of him. Appreciate y'all. Go Cougars.
Absolutely. Coach Aaron Wilkins, first-year head coach at Clovis High. Yeah, if you guys ever had the chance to talk to him, he can talk, man. He's great. He's got a wealth of knowledge and super nice guy. So 2 hours in the books. We're coming back and wrap everything up. Thank you guys for listening on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Just had a wonderful 2 hours talking high school football. Central Valley Sports Report. I love reporting on everything, but I love getting behind motivations from coaches and players, what motivates them, the journey that all of us are on. Coach Aaron Wilkins, 5 years ago, could he see himself as head coach at Clovis High? Eric Brown, who's had quite a journey himself, second-year coach, Clovis West program is headed up. So I want to thank Gabe Camarillo, Jorge Rodriguez, Trevor Horn from Garces, Marshall Sanders, and Coach Eric Brown from Clovis West, Clovis head coach Aaron Wilkins for coming on. Again, you could follow me on Twitter, at Paul Metters. Go to the 1430 ESPN website, download all previous episodes. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco Giants, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.